Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Spartans ready!
Yes!
Why did I do that? Why did I start with Spartans?
300!
Because this is episode 300, which is the Russell Crowe film, hence the Spartans. There you go. How underwhelmed is Satch? Ow.
What a film.
There you go. I'll tell you now. We're rubbish. We are pretty rubbish.
What do you mean?
I'm going to say.
What do you mean?
Because we don't get excited about stuff like that. We'll say it. I said it. And Kej knows it, that we're episode 300. But Satch, you represented what we really think inside, which is...
No, I don't.
What do you mean? You feel like, woo, 300.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, what? You mean for the film or for our podcast?
No, for the podcast.
Oh, yeah, well, it's just another podcast, isn't it?
Yeah, see?
Exactly,
Another podcast... Another podcast, let's just call it, Brown Town, right? If it was a Brown Town podcast, right? You quite like that title, don't you? You quite like, they would go, hey, everyone, 300 episodes. I never thought this day would come.
We'd have to take a selfie. We have to do like these like V fingers and like selfie 300.
I lie on the floor like a 3 and you do a couple of zeros.
I'll be a hole and Satch can be a hole.
And then they'd put that up as a post and they'd go,
We need balloons. I need a 300 balloons.
Maybe you just got 3 balloons, 1 on each nipple and 1 covering your privates, and maybe it's a circle of balloons on you, a circle of balloons on Satch, or Satch, you can have the 3 and I'll have the 0, whatever one, you know, whatever. But either way, it would be a full on post.
The two zeros could be Kedge's nostrils anyway, so it's cool.
Yeah, they're more oblong though. They're more oblong. They're like droopios.
Excuse me.
Wizard droopios.
To be fair, I knew it was 300, and that's why conveniently I just decided to go Dubai to celebrate by myself because I thought, you need a little break.
Can we address that, please, so that everyone, because obviously there'll be our loyal listeners who'll be like, oh, for God's sake, they're online again, and it's just not the same when they're online.
It's not the same. I agree.
It's not the same.
But it's because you're in Dubs. Why have you gone to Dubai? Because I know that you're... brother and his family and all that were all over here a little while ago. You're not missing family. So why are you there?
I'm not missing family. Do you know what it is, Tommy? I think, I don't know if I told you this, but this was the only weekend now that I'm free until January. So I thought, if I'm not working, you know, I just want to come here and spend a bit of time with these guys. And to be fair, it's been good. I've been up to a lot of stuff while I've been out here this time, which has been quite nice.
Today's Monday. When did you go? Yeah. You went last week.
I went last week Wednesday.
Okay, so you've already been there 5 days. Okay, right?
Yeah,
and what have you been up to, Satch? What's been good?
Well, me being me, most of the time I've actually spent with my nieces, which has been quite nice, and my brother and my sister-in-law. Always good to hang with them. Met up with a few friends out here, which has been lovely as well. And somehow...
Whoa. There's Kedge with his secret white friends. You with your secret Arab sheikh friends. What's going on? I didn't realize we all had secret friends.
You need to have side hustle friends. Come on.
I ain't got no side hustle friends. I haven't got no security. I ain't got no overdraft in place.
You've got your comedy friends.
No, they're not. They're not friends. I don't even like them.
Comedy pals.
No, they're not. They're not. I know what it's like. Because people say that to me. People say that to me, you've got your DJ mates. Well, no, some of them are not my mates. They're just people I know and I would see, like, on the circuit.
I know that feeling because I get that as well. They go, oh, you've got your podcast mates. I was like, no, not really.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
If Kej says that we're not his mates and he don't really associate us with him, that's not a bad thing, Tommy. I'll take that. If someone, you know, like, it's cool. I'm cool with that.
I'll use that to shift him on. I go, no worries. Let's get you to a place where you can be with friends. No, my point is, you got your secret Dubai mates, okay, and you've been hanging
they're
out.
They're not
with
secret. They're not secret, Tommy. They're not secret at
all. It's more fun in my head if I call them secret. Like they're in underground caves. They're like, Sajagia, Ajo. They come out the
let's
little.
Do something.
You know,
because
you
let's do something.
Have you ever heard that those places actually exist, Satch, or is it just a myth where drive you to the middle of the desert in Dubai and there's like a hatch in the sand and it's an underground cave party?
Mate, you've been watching too many Indiana Jones films or whatever they are, because none of that shit happens here. I don't know what you're on about, mate.
Definitely, bro, it was definitely the way in 2006, 7, 8, 9, when Dubai was just kind of getting going, like on a commercial tourist level. And then there was all this talk of like, you can go to these hotels or you can go to these rave parties, which is there's a hatch in the sand. You take some steps. You literally don't, you wouldn't even see a sign.
Sounds like John Wick, doesn't it? When he goes out.
I don't know. Honestly, Tommy, I don't know what sandy back doors you know, but I've not come across any. Speaking of Dubai friends, some of my good Dubai friends have come through because I got an invite this weekend to the IFA Awards, boys.
Hold on, wait. Before we go down the IFA road, can we? You haven't. Hold on. You've flown to Dubai. You haven't mentioned about any plane issues. I can't believe Satch has gone abroad and not mentioned airplane situations.
No, we did have a situation.
See? There we go.
It was just, do you know what? It was a situation that's kind of been following me around this whole weekend, actually, and to the point where I was out with my mates yesterday and they kind of
you didn't wipe your backside?
Well, it was related to my backside. To be fair, I think I do need the cream to make people move away from me, because I was in the queue at Gatwick getting onto the plane and all of a sudden I can just feel this lady, like she was so close to me, like behind me. And it was just, and I'm going to say it, and you know I'm going to say, they weren't white, they weren't black. They were brown.
Let me ask you this. Let me play the righteous one for a moment, right? And I want to hear your answer generally. I already think I know what it is. But why is the race of these people relevant, Satch? That's out of order.
I think, and I can say this, our people, I wouldn't even say UK Brits. Like, this is from abroad. Right. When they queue up, they seem to think that if they queue closer to the person in front of them, they're going to get onto the aircraft or whatever they're queuing for faster.
So they were almost in your jitter.
I mean, it felt like I was going to give her a piggyback to get on the plane. It was that close. It was
I love that.
You know what? That's the sketch. So in my head, she stepped closer, then she slowly starts to climb up.
Do you know what? It was like, it's funny you say Aja, because it was her. She had the two kids and her husband, and they were right pressed up against me.
Was the husband on top of her?
Like, they were just, it could have been. I could have been carrying four people, Kej. Like, they were so close. This gucky was grinding on me, and I was just like, I just need to get on this plane. Please, just stop.
I think it's a threesome. I think that's what it comes
Why
down.
Why are you so close? Before we even got to Dubai, all of that kicked off at Gatwick. And I even done it. Do you know what? Because obviously I was wearing a rucksack at the time. And do you know what? I took a step backwards on purpose.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Because I was
so
just like,
you bounced into her.
Yeah, I was like, you need to get away.
She wasn't old, auntie. She was quite a young mum.
No, she was like, she was a young mum. She probably had two kids that were about three, four. Like, they were just walking. They just seemed to think that if they were, I don't know, maybe it was like a magnetic field that, you know, it attracts people towards me. And they just, you know, sort of cling on to the back of me.
I've said it before. I'm going to say it again, right? There is a pushy gene in many Asian people. And I think that comes from being from a nation of 1.5 billion people, that there's something in the mind.
You've got to push. And you've got to push.
Go, go. If you don't push, you're going to get left behind.
You've got to fight.
Whilst we are sort of half taking a mick, I think I like all these observations. I like seeing differences in the way in which people conduct themselves or carry themselves out in public, whatever. Because what I've noticed is sometimes, like, let's say I get cut up by a Desi brother. There's a lot of Asian guys that are driving Deliveroos and Uber Eats and all that, right? They cut you up. And if you look at them, right, you go, what are you doing, right? And I'm angry.
Yeah.
And they put their hand on it. They know. They put their hand on it. Sorry, yaar. Yeah. And you're like, oh, you're just a sweet. You don't even know.
No, but that's why India's traffic works. Because basically there's no rules. There's no lines. But you cut people up.
No aggression.
Yeah, but one cares. No one gets stressed. They're all working within 1 millimeter square radius of the rickshaw.
Yeah, and as I said, that sort of theme, I think that moment at Gatwick kind of set the theme for the rest of my trip. Because obviously I just said I went to the IFA Awards yesterday on the Sunday. Yes. So I didn't actually go.
Say, yeah. Saj, it felt like every Tom, Dick and Harry went to the IFA Awards.
There was a lot of, to be fair, I didn't see anybody, which was quite nice.
What you're really saying is you saw a lot of coverage.
What I'm trying to say is that the IFA event was always something very like exclusive to get to and like, you know, very difficult to get into. But all of a sudden, it now just feels like an influencer event where, you know, it's quite easy to get tickets.
Okay, only because I only had one experience at the IFA in 2011. And what I'll say is you've obviously got all the celebs there and all that celebrity VIP side. But then it's a show for the masses, for everyone.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, of course it is.
But can I say the pictures? I'm going to let you describe it all, Satch. But the pictures I saw from what you sent, it looked like the Oscars. It looked more glamorous than ever. I think Abu Dhabi or was it Dubai?
Yeah, it was Abu Dhabi at the Etihad Arena. It took an hour to get there from Dubai quickly. It was across the road from where I DJ at the F1, so I knew the area exactly, like where it was, and I was just like, "Yeah, this is quite sick. I've never been here." Managed to . It's weird because I had tickets for both days, the Saturday and the Sunday. Obviously, the Saturday is the big one with all the, I think Shah Rukh Khan was hosting. So it was like the actual awards where they give out awards to the, you know, all the big actors and actresses that were there. But I couldn't make it. I just couldn't make it on the Saturday. So I was like, all right, cool. I'll go on Sunday with my another bunch of mates. And the lineup was Honey Singh was performing. So I was like, okay, that could be good. Yeah. Shilpa Rao was performing. I was like, she's got bangers as well.
Did he do Sunny Sunny?
He didn't because he don't. Do you know what? Honey Singh was a massive letdown. All he did was his new songs that no one knew.
Right. So that's why. I was just going to ask that because do you remember did you see that clip in that video of him going around? A few weeks ago, did we talk about this? When he was saying, what is this blue pani pani, party party, vodka vodka, daru daru. He goes, it's so stupid. He goes, when I think back to my lyrics, I feel so stupid. It's almost like he's
trying. Oh, well done, mate.
Yeah, but I'm like, that's pop. That's like saying, come on, man. Some of the best songs.
Can I just say, his new tunes went down like a lead balloon. No one gives. No one cared. No one cared. They were terrible. Terrible. As an artist, I'm sorry, you've got to look at who your audience is and just give them the blue air bunny bunny because that's what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to be fair, it might be cheesy and it might be, but you know, he covered that market and it was fine at the time, you know. Let's be honest. We still got Brit Asian Bhangra artists talking about how they drive Lamborghinis and stuff like that. Like, you know, like from the 90s. Do you know what I mean? That we're still getting those lyrics from the artists in this country. So, you know, it's not like it's like Asian music has got that much better.
Yeah.
Agree. So that was basically that. He brought on some support lady that was singing with him. No one knew who she was. She was a bit crap. So he went off.
You must have found out who it was.
Oh, her name was Julia something. I don't know.
Julia Ventura.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah, bro, vampire.
That's Salman Khan's little friend from back in the day. Friend.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say something else, but I had to quickly change the words. But yeah, just, you know. Bubby, isn't it? It's our Bubby.
You, what's her name? You, Les, what?
Julia Ventura or something. Sounds like a holiday resort.
Oh, God.
Okay, right. Yeah. So what was your awards like, though?
That was that. So Honey Singh was one of the first performers. He was terrible and miming as well. Shilpa Rao came on. She's got the bangers and she can sing, which was really good. So it was good to see that. And it was like a PAE kind of thing. But yeah, it was Eye for Rock. So like, it was basically they're doing awards for the sort of people behind the scenes. So it wasn't for the actors and actresses. It was more for like, you know, the choreographers, the set design, all of this kind of stuff.
Yeah, IFAs, which is the Indian Film Awards, right? There's 2 days. One is for the film stars and people. And the Eye for Rock, though, I thought was the music.
It's for it was more music based. Yeah,
the people behind the scenes and in the music part of this movie business, because music is such a big part of Bollywood, obviously.
Right? That's right. So that was
there's the film day and the music day, right?
Yeah. So again, they were sort of giving out awards in between. Can I just say the only films that won anything were all flipping Shah Rukh Khan's films, which is ironic because he hosted the night before.
Can I just say, right?
Let me finish my experience anyway.
Ken. Right, go on.
So that was that. They were giving, can I just say, and Tommy, you would have hated this because I thought of you when I was there. They had that, who was the fella hosting it? Siddharth Chaturvedi. Kedge, do you know who he is?
No, Siddharth Chaturvedi. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, he's him and some other fella who's in this Stree film that were hosting it. And Tommy, they had an auto cue on the other side of the arena and they were reading everything word for word, all the gags, everything.
So did it sound like they were reading? Did it sound read?
Tommy, they were reading it word for word. Like even all the gags and everything were all written out. And I was just like, this is like, you're just standing there. There's a massive video wall on the opposite end of like the flipping arena that the whole arena can see as well. That like the whole arena can see what you're about to read. It was terrible.
Yeah. You know what was quite funny? Where did I see it? And it was some presenter that was talking about it. It was an English like presenter. And they said, because the auto cue was, oh no, that's what it was. It was like on top of the pops. Because on top of the pops, they had an auto cue and they'd have the crowd behind them. And then there'd be people over their shoulder moving their mouths to the words.
Yes. To the words. And that's what it was. I was there like with my mates and I was just reading out what they were about to say. And it was quite hilarious. We were just having a laugh between ourselves. I was just like, this is just, I could have gone on stage and been the presenter. But do you know what? Putting all of that aside, obviously the headline act, and I haven't seen these guys, Shankar, Ehsaan and Loy. And
we're going to borderline territory.
Yeah, no, I know there's three. No, we're not, because I know there's three of them in this case. The other one we didn't. But can I just say, obviously, I know all the tunes that they've made. You know, they've made bangers from all the sort of films around the late 99s and 2000s. I've never seen them live. And everyone always says to me, you need to see these guys. I think, Tommy, it was you that was like, you need to see these guys live.
Shankar Mahadevan, particularly. Yeah, go on.
Honestly, I think it's one of the best things I've seen.
Please like him.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. But that's undisputed. Just bangers for days.
Number one, like the way he's interacting with the crowd, like everything's just on point. All of like his musical bits. So like he's broke down the whole of like Pretty Woman to like from bongos all the way to like the sax player and then like the keyboard and then the bass. And you know, like as a music fan, you're just like, this is incredible. So good.
Yeah. See, he broke down the song Pretty Women. Pretty Women just break down around Kedge. That's the difference. So it's
there we go.
The other way around.
And he actually brought his two sons that sing as well now on stage.
Oh, yeah. They're so good.
Honestly, I think they're probably better than him. They're so good.
The younger one's my friend.
It's his son.
Come again, Kedge.
So the younger one is a friend of mine.
What's his name?
A few times. I forgot his name off the top of my head, but he's a mate.
That's how good of a friend he is.
It begins with S. It's something like Siddhant.
No, that's his dad, Shankar.
You're so funny. His son, he's been putting out videos for the last few years with his son, but you're right, he's a little powerhouse in the making as well. And if he's got his dad's warmth, because Shankar Mahadevan's, it's just his voice. What I remember from his concert was that the way they banter with the crowd, and I'm sorry, I'm going to say it, he flirts with the older women in the audience in a good way, but not flirting like, hello, darling, not like that.
It wasn't creepy.
It's banter flirting. You know, like he's cheeky. He's talking about, I don't know, husbands and, you know, it was just good, fun, friendly, cheeky auntie banter that he had. And I just thought he was amazing. Yeah. And can I just say, that was a concert that I met Akriti Kakkar. And I heard her sing Kalhona Ho, and I was like, Yeah. And I was also a bit wet behind the ears because I was new to Asian media. Oh. I'd never really seen someone perform Bollywood songs live. So when you hear it live, and the Shankar Mahadevan's great, Akriti's obviously so great, you go, whoa, what? It was, I remember that night was so distinct at the Royal Albert Hall, I think it was as well. So, no, good. I'm so glad you enjoyed them.
And that's what I mean. Like, but no, there were the three performances that happened. And then there was like loads of other bits and bobs and like other actors and actresses coming on, handing out awards. But it was just, do you know what? Like I've got to say, the organisation of it was terrible. Like, it was really bad.
Yeah, really?
It was just. It's meant to start at 6:30. It started about 8:30. Indian timing.
Yeah.
Doors didn't open at 5:00 or whatever. They opened at about 7:30. And it, obviously, you know, as I
we
said,
still
people
can't do that.
People were grinding on me in Gatwick. In it was even worse. It was even worse there. Like there
it's
was
like
this
a
uncle,
party.
There was an uncle. It was a PDD party. There was an uncle behind me, and he was speaking
like a PDD party.
He was speaking full on kedge, full on like. You know, like rough Gujarati, like he was from the ghetto.
Surat, yeah.
He was ghetto, and he was chatting behind me, and like, you know, he tried to speak to me like in English, like, you know, oh, like, you know, where are you from, kind of thing. And I was like, obviously, in my most English, I was like, London, like, you know, like my nice
London accent,
bruv. Yeah, like as if I wouldn't understand what he was saying, basically. So anyway, he was plotting with his missus to try and get in front of me in the queue, but I obviously know what he's saying in Gujarati because I understand it. And
he was
behind me. He was grinding up against me. I could feel his stomach touching my back. And I was just like, this is disgusting. Honestly, he was that close. And then when the doors opened, he tried to go past me. Bruv, don't think I kicked off. And he absolutely shat himself.
He was
do you know what he said? He goes, why are you being... even one of my other mates, like, they were there and they said... they said to another lady that pushed past, like, you know, why are you pushing past? And the lady goes, turns around and goes, there's no need to be so rude. Well, you're the one that's flipping pushing in, you prick.
Yeah, I love that. Calling you out for calling them out is hilarious.
Honestly.
People do that all the time.
And it was the same. And the uncle was like, no, go on. You go then. You go. And I was like, I'll go in a second when people are moving. There's no point rushing when no one's moving. Like, where do you want me to go?
Can we just break this down just for 1 minute? Because I talk about this all the time, right? Particularly with my wife who's in the other room, so I have to talk quietly. That is wrong. Because I said, when you bring up someone's wrongdoings and they go, oh, why are you being like that? Right? You're like, no, you did wrong. You've now made me feel a certain way. And now you're trying to make me feel bad for reacting to the way that you made me feel. So it's quite a clever mind technique or brain or whatever it is, management technique to go, I tell you what, rather than address the fact that, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have pushed past you. Sorry, right? They've gone, oh, you're being rude, aren't you? Like, no.
I believe the phrase is a narcissist.
Right. Oh. And then, because they're just about themselves, right? And then the second part of that is when they say to you, rather than say, okay, so the first thing, firstly, they've gone, no need to be like that. And then they go, go on then, go on, you go.
Yeah, it was like that.
Now he's gaslighting your ability to go. You're like,
oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
This is,
like, and do you know what I didn't? Do you know what I didn't? We had a standoff. I didn't go. I just stood there. It's like, go on then.
Yeah.
You try and get past me, I'll beat you up.
So I went into, not a silly little thing, I went into the coffee shop the other day and I was on the phone. And I opened the door, went in, was ordering my coffee, and I was chatting on the phone. I was trying to order my coffee at the same time. And I turned around. It was a woman sat at the coffee table, at a table right by the coffee shop entrance. And I'd obviously left the door open. But Bajadi was, I'm going to say it, she was like an old Gordy, right? Like about 60, 65, not that old, right? But she's looking at me like, you've left the door open behind me, you know? Like, and I went, and I looked around. After I'd ordered the coffee and turned around slowly in my own time, in my own world, and I looked at her and I thought, why is she looking at me like that? Like she was giving me a bit of a funny look.
Yeah.
And I looked at the door and she sort of half gestured and I was like, oh, I said, did I leave that open? And she went, yeah. And I went, I'm so sorry. I said, I wouldn't normally do something like that. I said, it's because I'm on the phone. I'm trying to do too many things. I said, I'm a bloke. Yeah. I can't multitask. And I put my hand on the shoulder. Actually, I went, I'm really sorry. Like, because I actually felt like a dick. I thought, that's a dumb thing to do. I would tell my kids off about that. Like, close the door behind you. Be aware of what's going on. So it's funny. So, but you got to put your hands up in that situation. And I would say, jump around a little bit yesterday. I was on the train back from Birmingham from doing a comedy show. And there was three guys, three quite rude boy looking like black guys, all sat on this table. One of them was in my chair. Now they're all together, they're all chatting together. I went up, I went, bro, really sorry, man, but you're in my chair. And they all look at each other, they all went quiet for a bit, and he went, I'm really sorry, man. And they were polite and sweet as anything. They all got up, they all moved. I had three chairs to myself. I was like, lovely. Two of you could have stayed. It's okay. But what I mean is, when it's time to put your hands up, you've got to put your hands up and go, look, I did that.
Yeah, of course.
And I hate when people don't do that.
And it was funny because, do you know what? I did, in that instance, when that was all kicking off, I did think about Kedge, and I was just like, he's someone that would definitely not even, he would just get, he would be pushed around, people would go past him. Oh no, he'd be the pusher, to be fair. I thought about it. I was like,
I'll be with the caca pushing.
No, honestly.
I don't think he would. No, Kedge wouldn't push. Kedge would go, look, see that side over there?
Yeah. He was like, look at this guy.
Let's go for that. Oh, no, now it's clear that way. Let's go that way. He'd take different strategies, but you're not rude, Kedge. Kedge wouldn't do that.
Yeah, there was just no need to do that.
Yeah, just because I'm now all these memories coming back from things that have triggered me over the weekend, Satch, you started it. But like, obviously, I don't have hair, so maybe it's me being a bit like, there's something, is it me or is there something a bit nasty about hair? Like hair in the sink, hair on the floor, other people's hair. When I see hair,
where does that come from?
I don't know. Wow. I think I'm developing like a thing where I find hair a bit disgusting. Does that make sense? Like, I don't know what it is.
It depends what kind of hair.
Right. Okay. So this guy comes on the train, right?
Short and curly.
No. No, it weren't pubes. It was this guy comes to the train. He's about 70, right? But he's got a full head of gray hair, right? Long. It comes to, but he's a bit random looking. He's got green trousers, got a red shirt, he's got like a leather waistcoat. So he's a bit like, I tell you what, I want to say, like a bit like Mr. Majika meets Wurzel Gummidge meets the professor from Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. Right? So picture that kind of slightly older, nutty, mad hair, but his hair was really wiry. Like it looked already thin. Like you'd rubbed a balloon against it and it all bits of it were standing up. Right?
Right.
So it's looking like that. And I'm looking, and he's sort of huffing and puffing and looking at his watch a few times. He's a bit of a character. He's looking around. So he's caught my eye a little bit. And I'm looking at him. I'm looking at all his bald. I'm looking at the way he is. I thought, good head of hair for an old boy. But you know, you're looking at it thinking, it definitely needs a load of sarung datel in there. Like even I would like to get the sarung datel, the mustard oil out. And give him a good old tail neutral.
You get arrested for that, P. Diddy.
Yeah, apparently you can't get your tail out unless you're P. Diddy. You can't get any tail out in public, right? But then he started combing it. Now this is the bit I found this guy and he had a proper what we call a gungi. What do you call a comb? By the way, just out of interest. What's your
word?
What'd
you say, gungi?
No, gungi.
Oh, gungi.
Gungi is a comb.
Oh, what's combing with righty, Kedge?
Batiol.
What? You're gonna call me Batiol. What?
Yeah. Why would you do that, yo?
Hey, it's good that you want to make a nice impression at your party, bro. I'm gonna Batiol no comb like yeah. Sorry, Batiol is comb.
That
Batio
with a D.
Well, like that is teeth. So it's like
teeth. Oh, it's like, because it's got little teeth on the comb. I bet you you're wrong, Kedge, because we're going to now get all the messages and go, no, it's not that. Right. But either way,
to be fair, I don't know if that's Gujarati or Swahili, Kedge.
Yeah,
what
I think
is
that
it?
Might be Swahili, you know?
That might be Swahili.
Yeah.
Oh, God. But he starts combing it. And obviously, he's an older guy. There's bits of hair coming out. Then there's a whole load of hair in the comb butties, in the butts, in the teeth, right? That's what it is, right? And then this is it. He grabs the hair, pinches the comb, pulls it all out of the comb, and then just flicks it into the room, flicks into the air. Now, the window in the carriages of the underground were open, so there's a bit of suction going on. So now his bar is moving around the air
in the carriage. Yeah.
And it's like 15, 16 strands. So it quickly disperses in the carriage. But I'm watching the hair movement. It didn't go towards me. It went towards where the suction of the window was. But I found that really disgusting. I felt like that was, it's like picking your nose and flicking it. I felt like it was like that. I was like, but I don't know if that was just me being a bit hair sensitive.
It's not just hair, Tommy. People that like do their hair, and for me, the worst is flipping women doing their makeup on the train. That really winds me up.
Wow.
Oh, really?
I find it. No. Why don't you just wake up 10 minutes early at home and do it there? Like, there's no need for you to
rush, mate.
you've got to get all of your set out in the middle of flipping the train where it's packed and, like, you know, you're in someone's armpit to start with and you've got your lipstick out. Like, I'm sorry, just put it away.
All right. Wow.
Not like when you get your lipstick out, Kedge. That is also...
He's all right if blokes are good doing their makeup.
That's wrong.
Can we just go back to Kedge? Because I cut him off when he wanted to give his take on the IFAs.
All I was going to say was just like who cares really about the IFAs anymore?
Yeah, no.
I don't think people... Like, you know, it used to be, oh my God, Saturday night, we've got to watch the IFAs, like, you know, performances.
Yeah.
I think Bollywood has gone so down the gutter. I don't think anyone really cares anymore.
I'm with you. Kedge, honestly, I'm with you. And you know, yesterday, like when I was heading back home from Abu Dhabi back to Dubs, I was thinking about it and I was just like, you know what, the rest of it, I couldn't give a monkeys. Like, I was so happy that I saw those guys at the end perform, because that made my day. Like, that was
that's better than anything, because basically, you know, who cares if Shah Rukh Khan, like, no one even, like, the quality of films that we're getting now are terrible anyway. And then on top of that, like you said, Shah Rukh Khan wins everything. Wow, because it's Karan Johar's empire, and we all live in Karan Johar's world. And so therefore, you know, that's it. You know,
do you know what? There was three films that won everything. Animal, Jawan, Shah Rukh Khan.
Salman Khan, Animal.
Yeah, Jawan. And then the other one was that Rocky and Rani Malarkey.
Yes, it's Bobby Deol and Ranbir Kapoor in Animal. Why did you say Salman Khan?
I thought it was Salman Khan, wasn't it?
No, Bobby Deol and Ranbir.
Right. Sounds like a film Salman Khan would be in.
Yeah, you know, you could have, but it was like, you know, but it was, this was a bit more gritty and a bit more, you know, whatever, edgier than Salman.
But I think you're right. I think, Kedge, honestly, I think you're right. No one cares, bruv. No one cares.
Yeah, I just don't think the Asian population in the UK now, as you know, as crazy as we were, like in like the late 90s, 2000, as boggled as the UK Asians were about all of this Bollywood stuff, I just don't think...
Do you not think it's you lot? Do you not think you lot have drifted off and we've moved on and we're older and think, therefore that hype and excitement around things just isn't there anymore because you're older. That's it.
In 2011,
I was excited.
That's wrong, because look, I think, you know, I DJ all the Bollywood nights in London and they are more bigger than ever at the moment with the youth, so people still do like it. They like the music,
but I think they just
don't give a crap anymore about any of the stars, because no one, like, you know, we've just gone past that now.
Stars are put there now, isn't it?
You can catch them on Instagram and you see them all day, so there's nothing special about them. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Or you just you know, watch Arsenal or something and you see Ranveer Singh.
Yeah, you're right. I think you've hit the nail on the head, because of social media. You get your fix of these stars. It's not
they're not special anymore.
Now you think about, you know, spotting Marilyn Monroe or knowing what Marilyn Monroe did for lunch. You would like, whoa, you know, like, you know, but now we know.
So that was my weekend. Tommy, obviously, you know, watched someone do his hair on the train and was working. Kedge, what were you up to?
So a couple of things for me. Firstly, I wrote this down because I thought I've got to chat to you guys about it. But it was a Zoom call, which was a work one, and it was a presentation. So it was, you know, them ones where, you know, the UK office all join, all the sort of such few senior people from the UK office, and basically it was a presentation from people in Taiwan, and I'm like, okay, this is going to be really an insight into, it was a YouTube kind of catch up and everything like that. And they had some real big insight. And I thought this would be really interesting to see how they use that platform in a different country and how they, you know, sort of monetize it, blah, 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 all of that kind of stuff, right? Boring stuff.
Right.
But these poor guys from Taiwan, the guy who was chosen to present, Bichara, couldn't speak English.
Right. And that's a problem.
I know. And then you guys are talking about the auto cue, and he was reading from his script, and so he couldn't read certain words. So he couldn't say synchronize. So he said, synchronize, like that, right? And you're like, oh, this guy. And then, like, the slides weren't changing. It kept pausing. It was like, it kept freezing. And it's just like, oh my God. And then on top of that, they would go, any questions? And you've got all these lulus from the UK who are asking the questions in the high level vocabulary that these people in Taiwan are not going to get. And then someone had to go, I think the question is, what difficult problems did you find? You know, and you're like, Why can't, you know, that's why, again, the other thing I didn't understand is, why can people not understand that this is the level of people's English is a little bit lower than yours? So let's get down to that level. It's no point asking them questions in English, which has got vocabulary that, you know, you'd only know if you went to Oxford or Cambridge.
Can I analyze you for a second? Can I analyze you for a second? Right?
Go on.
Can I say something? So what's going on there, in my opinion, and I love this, Ketch, I love this. You are, as much as I take the mick out of you, you know I adore you, you know I love you, right? But you are a people person. So you like looking at, oh, what's trending or what's going big on,
yeah.
You know, even like if it is like your random Filipino films that you recommend to people and piss them off, you know, all of that shit. Like you want to know, what are people up to? People behavior, you're, you know, like that, yeah. Like, sociologically, you're quite in tune. Now, you want to communicate and connect with people. That's what you're in the business of communication.
Yeah.
You make social media, you were on the radio, you play songs. Songs are for people, to other people to enjoy, you know, playlists, other people, right? So when that happens in that situation, someone's like, not, you're looking at it, you're going, Taiwan geezer can't speak. Yeah. You lot are trying to ask questions like in normal basic language. Think about what you're saying. Bro, yeah. I feel the same way when I hear like my missus, like ordering, let's say even ordering from like the whoever the, when I say freshie, it might be freshie Italian, might be freshie Thai, might be freshie Indian.
Yes, like exactly foreign, right? This. Exactly right. This.
So, but you know what we do, Kedge? And I know you do this. We end up putting on their accent to talk to them.
Yeah, Kedge does.
So, I know I do
it. But it doesn't have to be the accent, but just think, right? Go to their level of communication.
Yeah, but for example, and Simon is the one I saw, you know, my cousin Simon, I saw him doing it the most. Like, you know, when he goes, you collect rent Monday, no problem. Rent be here.
No, but for you. But if the guy is struggling to speak English, he's going to understand that. So that's fine. I don't see that as being a problem, because the whole point is you need to communicate at a level where you both get it.
But can you imagine if someone heard you kind of going, Mr. Nigerian, you will collect your rent on Monday. They'd go, why would he do that? He's taking a piss. Go, no, because I mean, it's different. Nigerians are actually very articulate. Their English is like Queen's English. They're like a bit like typical Indians when they speak very properly. My granddad used to do that. He used to write cards like, you know, yours faithfully, with much love and, you know, it was just all that very formal way of sort of army sort of style talking.
Yeah.
But I definitely think, you know, dumbing down, if that's the word, to your English.
I don't think it's dumbing down. I just think you should have the intelligence and the IQ to hit the level of who you're chatting to.
I just think they probably just picked the wrong man in the office. Why they should pick someone who can speak English?
I know. And again, it's down to the management and bosses. And, you know, this is the problem, you know.
Maybe it was a bet in the office and they said, you know, old... you know, Stephen over there in the corner, he can't speak a word of English. He's going to go on the call with, you know, the London team. It could be. We don't know what's going on in their office.
Well, yeah. one manager came up to me who was really senior, and he comes up to me, stands next to me, taps him, and he goes, "Ked, what the F is this?" And he just walked away, and he didn't even stay on the call.
I was at that consumer electronics show in Vegas, which is the, you know, all new product show, which I was doing gadget reviews on. It's done in January every year. It's a big show. All these different brands are there. And there was a washing machine there, which was being displayed and talked through to us on camera. I'm interviewing the guy by a Japanese guy.
Right.
He couldn't say front loading, right?
Yeah.
They go front loading. And you know, you go, what? I don't know what he's saying. And we did a whole cover, but he goes, and then obviously because the English isn't that great, he goes, you know, the woman's using the washing machine. I'm like, oh man, you can't say it. Like, it's not just women. Anyone uses it. He goes, the woman's, they don't want to bend over. They no bend over. Right. And I'm going, oh my God. Like, he's making it too easy.
Disaster.
By the way, this washing machine had a tilted drum. So, you know, like the drum is normally flat facing out.
That's quite clever.
So in the door was tilted upwards slightly. He goes, to save women trouble, bend over. Women no bend over no more. And then that was it. I went off on one. We didn't even use the clip. I went, oh, what? So your wife doesn't bend over. I want my wife to bend over, but sometimes she doesn't bend over. And he's going, yeah, I know. Problem with bend. So we did this whole bend over chat. The thing never got used. But I'm like, but I know
of
what
course
you mean.
It didn't.
And then I walked away. But I said the same thing. I said, they got the wrong guy there. Like, we can't use that.
Wrong guy. I went from wrong guy to right guy because I bumped into somebody today at work who is one of my childhood heroes, and I was such a fanboy around it. And Tommy will know this. Tommy will know this person. Satch, well, you'll know him, but you won't know the excitement that I basically dealt with when I met him. But do you remember Andy Peters?
Of course.
Me, of course I was so excited to meet Andy Peters because he was in the broom cupboard back in the day when we were young.
Yep.
And who had his hand up? Who? Gordon the Gopher or Ed the Duck? Which one?
No. That was always Phillips. He was Phillips Schofield's left hand.
No. There was Gordon the Gopher and Ed the Duck. And I think Andy Peters had one as well.
Oh, I think, yeah, it was Ed the Duck. He didn't do the voice for it, but yeah, he did have one with him. Okay, go on. And what did you make of him? What do you think of him?
Well, I just loved him. And he's, you know, how is he not aged?
No, yeah, he does look good.
He still looks the same. He still looks good.
His skin is incredible. He still looks so good.
I love
so
it.
So good.
It moisturizes, isn't it? He's got cocoa butter regularly.
Yeah.
But you're right. He's still got a mad energy. So my Andy Peters stories is this. Firstly, at one point when I went for an audition at Channel 4, I was like 22, 23 years old. He was like the head of like recruitment there, like for presenters and diversity.
At Channel 4?
I met him there for an audition. And then obviously he disappeared for a bit. Then I saw him pop up on other, like, and Chris Moyles used to use him on Radio 1 for some fun stuff. And now he still pops up on Chris Moyles' show. But I'll be honest.
Well, now he does all the holiday stuff on Loose Women as well. Good Morning Britain.
GMT, yeah, all that kind of, the kind of like, got, you know, you can win a £50,000 thing.
Yeah, I'm actually, this morning. Look,
I'm going to say, I'll tell you straight. He's a broadcaster. He's been in the game a long time. I think that's below him. I think he should have a chat show. He should have a game show at least. He's playful. Yeah, he's hard, fun, isn't it? He's experienced.
He's one of the best. He is one of the best.
He'll have a lot of experience. He's like, you know, he'll have as much experience as like your Noel Edmonds and people like that.
He's better. I would say if he was given a chance, I would say he's better than Anton Deck and Stephen Mulhern. This guy is up there.
But not Anton Deck. Don't you can't knock Anton Deck, bruv. You can't.
No, I'm not knocking them. I'm not knocking them, but I'm saying he's there. He's on par with all these people. It's just that, you know what it's like in this country. It's difficult. It's difficult. I was just excited to see him because it made my day.
You met a presenter for me, Kedge. I felt like I was turning into you this weekend. First, I'll go to these award shows. First person I meet comes over, and bruv, I'm proud to say he knew who I was before I even knew who he was. And he is, I'm not going to say his name just because it's because of, you'll realize why. It was a diplomat who represents Uganda, which is where your mum's from, Kedge, right?
Yeah.
And he went, Tommy Sandu. I went, yeah. He was obviously Asian looking, but he had that kind of different kind of African Asian accent that Ugandan people, Desis have, right?
Yeah.
And I went, yeah. And he went, oh, I'm trying to learn. And he pulled out his card and he goes, I'm a diplomat for Uganda. I went, wait, you're an actual diplomat. He goes, yeah. And his card was really minimal. It just had the Ugandan flag and what his office was and his name. Right. Love it was almost like, you know, like
proper, men in proper. Black. With a black.
Yeah. And I went, let me ask you this. I said, you can kill someone, can't you? You can do what you want, right? And he goes, well, I can park anywhere. And I went, oh, okay. But he didn't want to say that. He goes, you can park. He goes, I'm not going to do the accent. He goes, you can park anywhere you like. And he was smiling ear to ear, like, that's the Brilliant. Best yeah, thing about the
you
job.
Can, yeah.
And I said, and he goes, anytime I'm going to come to Uganda, let me know. I've got his card, Kedge. We're going to Uganda and we're going to reconnect with your mum's roots. And then we'll go to the villages and we'll probably go to a village where everyone looks like you, Kedge. I'm like, oh my day, what's happened here? But when do you ever get to meet a diplomat? Because one thing we know about diplomats is, firstly, they go around with those plates with the D on the plate. So you know them.
Yeah, which I love that. And a flag, little flag.
And apparently they're above the law. All diplomats are above the law. They can do what they want.
Really?
That's it.
Really?
There you go. So I was doing my bit for the Ugandan massive. It's pretty sick.
So that is pretty sick, to be fair, Tommy. Good you met a diplomat, because I don't think I've ever met one. Kedge, have you?
No.
But I know one thing, Tommy, that you probably met, and I know Kedge definitely won't, and I definitely won't have as well, and that's a bacon butty.
What? Oh, yeah. What do you mean? You don't? Sorry, Satch. I know you don't eat much meat, yeah. but you yeah. don't eat pork either?
No, I don't eat bacon, no. No bacon.
Okay, would you have a sausage?
No, you don't eat that. No,
so you never had a pork sausage? Like, not consciously, or not in your adult life, or not you remember?
The story that I saw this week in the paper, it was about how a bacon butty will get you all saucy, meaning that is one of the top foods that is a bit of a aphrodisiac, and it boosts your sex drive.
Hello. A bacon butty?
What does that mean?
Bacon butty, mate.
Okay. What do you...
I don't know. So I just brought it to Brown there. Then thought, well, Tommy probably smashes a bacon butty. Does it have that effect?
I do the butty, then I do the butty. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm good. I'm sorry, everybody. Okay. So let me firstly, let's take it back to what a bacon butty is. And I know a lot of people will be like,
bacon. I'll go bacon sandwich as well. Let's not go butties.
Okay. I have got so many. I'm from the East End of London, where bacon sandwiches, and as well as all over the country, but you know, working class areas and bacon butties go hand in hand. Some people call it bacon cob, bacon roll, bacon batch, bacon. They have different words for the rolls, or whether you put in a roll, buttered roll, not buttered roll, brown sauce, red sauce. It's a thing. I remember. I was working at my uncle's markets in Whitechapel as a bit of work experience. Right. I was like 13, 14 years old. I'd never had an egg and bacon butty before. And they went and got them from the calf, and the egg was runny and the bacon was inside and it was a bit stringy. And it was probably one of the finest things I've ever had. I don't think I got saucy at that point because I was only 13 or 14 years old. But I tell you why a bacon butty might be a food that gets people in the mood. It's because it's a bit wrong, because it's a bit naughty, because it is a bit saucy itself, because it is a bit gristly. Because we know. Bacon's not great for you. You know, big white buttered bread isn't great for you. But
I mean, to be fair, I'm thinking about it. I'm just like, well, I mean, I don't like this. I don't even like the smell of it. And like, I'm just there's no reason why I could think that makes you want to do that. Like, it's just
because
the two things don't go together.
Yeah, because like normally aphrodisiacs are normally like
chocolate. Chocolate's one of them, isn't it?
But they're more like they can be more like what's the word like herbs and spices and that kind of thing. So like you know like turmeric, the good old haldi powder is the one. And that's why and that's why curry is a known aphrodisiac. You know, if you want to spice up your life.
Oh, actually, to be fair, Kitch, that's number five on. I've actually got the top 10 list.
Why do you think you had the uncle trying to rub you up your backside, the auntie at the airport?
Yeah, he must have had curry.
They had a fresh curry, mate.
And it explains the population issue in India. Everyone's eating curry and they're breeding them.
And absolutely getting it on. But I like that. I like the fact that
I was thinking about
also. Shall I tell you the magic in the curry that helps you increase the production of testosterone?
Go on.
The fenugreek.
Methi.
That's the stinky
stuff.
One.
Yeah, well, but then you stink after that, brother.
Who said that though? That is nonsense.
You do. All your pits and your sweat glands and shit stink of methi.
I do the kasuri methi. When you crush up kasuri methi, your fingers and hands are going to stink.
Yeah,
straight.
You can wash your hands.
It don't go away.
It embeds itself quite quickly. That's all I'm saying. It's a different kind of. It takes to you in a different way. Like so often I'll cook and then go pick the boys up from school.
Yeah.
And then I'll be in the playground and someone will go, ooh, someone's been eating a curry. Like that. Wow. And I'm like, can you smell it? And they're like, yeah. And I haven't even eaten it. Oh. I've just been around the dharka. And it's the methi. It's the methi that gets him.
Mate, for sure. But then I was thinking about it, I was like, all right, that's a bacon butty. Then I was thinking, what kind of desi foods would get you in the mood for that? And then I thought about it and I was like, well, I think Kedge, like I know Kedge well enough. He's probably going to come out with something like Dogla a little bit of Nastor will get him going.
You can't just say food you like. You've got to think of food that somehow leads to the art of lovemaking is what we're really getting at here, right?
Yeah.
We're saying that the bacon butty, it's kind of, because you think it's small, it's light enough. I guess if people are eating it, it's not like, oh, you're going to have three aloe pronte and fall asleep. This is like, oh, a little saucy bit of porky, little bunny bit of action. Therefore, it's got everything going on. It's sweet. It's naughty. It's sticky. It's comforting. Mm. Bang. There you go. That mirrors. I feel like I'm being crude and rude for no reason here. That mirrors, you know, getting it on. So, you know, a nice bit of pork in between two buns. I mean, that is essentially the art of doing it. So,
maybe it's just their own, though. I don't think there's a universal dish. I don't know. I can't think of a universal dish that maybe gets like all Gujaratis horny.
Why is it going to be Gujaratis? It could be anyone.
No,
asking me. It's not Gujarat. I'm just saying, what desi dish is the equivalent of a flipping bacon? Is it a wrap-up?
What about ras malai? I think ras malai gets everyone a little bit excited, doesn't it?
I think it's probably dessert based. I think for desis, it'll be like, I was actually thinking, because you know what it is? You see women getting very excited about ras malai and gulab jamun and ice cream.
Even guys get very excited about ras malai.
Yeah.
Do you reckon that's a dish? It could be, you know, boys. It could be.
I think it could be, you know, because it's just not what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Ras malai. Yeah,
ras malai.
You want to malai my ras? Yes, I do.
Yeah. This dude. It's good. Yeah. You know, you get a little bit of a thing in the middle of it, and then it's
lumps.
Yeah,
lumps.
Yeah,
my love. Oh, by the way, can I just on that point just say hello to Peter? Peter is listening to the podcast, who is a good friend. Number one, an avid listener. Number two, a big fan of Kedge more than anyone else. Which I find weird, which makes me quite sad. But by the way, he runs a restaurant, a great restaurant, Gunchen's in East London, Gants Hill.
Lovely food
to go there. Great food. And but he also he said to me, there's points in the podcast where he listens with his son, and his son goes, "What's that mean?" He goes, "You don't need to worry about that bit." And I'm like, there's good and ras malai and dud and
I mean, that's it. We've just put the poor boy off ras malai for life. He's never going to eat it. Exactly.
So he goes, I have to edit it out. And then he goes, and now I've realized I don't put the podcast on in the car on the way to school. It's my listen on the way back from the school run. So thank you, Pete. I'm on a Pete one, because he also told me Long Legs was the shittest thing he's ever watched ever, Kedge.
Terrible
recommendation.
Don't worry, Tommy. I'm going to come on to that a bit later
That's a nice segue into things that we have seen this week. And can I just say, for every person who doesn't like it, I had two people at the podcast who said, Kedge, I love everything that you recommend. I saw Long Legs and I loved it. So I'm just bouncing it. You know,
like, your mum and dad don't count.
Okay, and I will pretext it with this. About 10 days before that, Pete was leaving me messages, and he was going, "Can I say?" He goes, "I love the podcast." He goes, "It's great. You three are great. The way you chat is great. Yeah, it's like I'm there with you, and I'm hanging out with you. Brilliant." And he goes, "And can I say?" He goes, "I think you're too harsh on Kedge." And Pete, I've known Pete. Best part of 25 years, right? So Pete's he's like family.
Good feedback.
Right?
So good feedback.
And I went, "Really?" And he went, "Yeah." He goes, "I think you shut him down too much, and you shouldn't do that." And I went, "No, you don't understand." He goes, "What don't I understand?" I said, "He's a prick sometimes. He's just a prick." I said, "I've told Kedge openly to his face. As I've told him, if we weren't on a show together or on a podcast together, that is very successful, I wouldn't be your mate. I don't like you, but I like the way I like the fact that you rub me out. Okay, I don't need all yes people on the podcast. You know, Sachi's going to have his opinion. He don't give a shit what you think. You don't give a shit what I think. Sach literally don't give a monkey's about. Anyway, if it's crap, I'm sorry, mate. It's crap. Good luck to you. See you later. Yeah, and Kedge, you think everything's amazing and it's not.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like two extremes. So I've got all this going on. Then I've got people telling me that I'm being too mean to you. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. He deserves it.
I had that a few weeks ago and they were like, "Oh, you've been mean to Kedge the past few weeks." You have no idea what it's even like before we've even pressed record on the podcast. He's pissed me off on the way here. I'm annoyed already.
Instantly, you don't realize. What my point about Pete is, Pete was like, "No, Kedge is great." And then he watched Long Legs and he went, "Kedge is a knob." Thank you. Now you know. So that was good.
And just carrying on that theme, can I, seeing as we're going to do things with Watch, can I carry on with the theme of Kedge is a knob? The film that he bigged up on the podcast maybe about 10 episodes ago, and even went to the cinema to watch this one, Kedge, Monkey Man.
Oh, yeah, the Dev Patel one.
I just say, it is one of the shittest films I've seen in my life.
No, honestly.
It was.
No, firstly, no,
hear me out. Can I finish what I'm going to say first?
Go on. Go on.
Yes. Yeah, so, it's just, honestly, if there, Tommy, like this, and this pissed me off, and I know this pissed you off as well. If there's every desi cliche you can fit into like a film that's meant to be like a hero Hollywood film, he's done it. He's done like a car like chase what? With a car chase, okay. A car chase with a rickshaw.
Right.
He's learning how to box and become a fighter, and the guy in the background's playing the doubler. I mean, sorry, but did Rocky have the doubler playing the background when he was trying to fight Mr. T? Like,
did he have an Italian? Did he have like someone making pasta in the background?
Honestly, you know, like, there was no story. He was like a shit budget hero, and the fight scenes were absolutely it was just terrible. I was like, why am I watching this shit? I know Kedge bigged it up, it's gonna be crap. And do you know what, I come to think of it, I thought, all right, this went into the cinema, it was a bit like, not, it weren't a big cinema release, it was a cinema release. It's then cinema. You didn't hear anything about the flipping film because it was just a waste of time.
Yeah, but
honestly, Tommy, it was like a flipping massive Hollywood film that, you know, a person from Harrow would make, and a person from Harrow's made it. And it is something Kedge would buy on DVD in Wembley Market. It's that bad.
Okay. wasn't it a Netflix film? Didn't it go straight?
Netflix said no to it.
Yeah, Netflix said no to it because it was that shit. Honestly, there was no
Netflix
point.
Netflix makes some shit. And can I just say,
you know, I might get into trouble for saying this as well. There was, for me, there was a lot of religious references in it. And I thought, all right, if you're not Hindu, then I don't really think you're going to really care about this. And it was just too much, in my opinion. I thought,
wow.
Anyone else watching this,
I will say, to the defense on that is, it's Monkey Man. It is based on Hindu gods.
Yeah, I know. Therefore, I get that. But I still think you still need to make it appeal to the masses, not just a certain type of person. And that's what I think it did.
I know what you're saying, Saz. I agree with that. I just think it was Dev Patel's first venture in making.
Yeah, well, he needs to go back to being a Jaiwala and doing them kind of roles because he's better at it. Stop fighting people. You're not here to fight from people. You're from Harrow. Behave yourself.
But all I'm saying is, and where I saw it from, is that the guy is obviously, he's always going to be used as the cliched Indian Bendu who works in, you know, the hotel or the thing.
But sometimes
the story behind this was that basically he had enough of always being, you know, casted as that Lalu in a Hollywood film, because basically you're never going to get an Asian hero.
I get that. But Tommy, I'm just going to put this out to you. Would you cast Kedge in an Avengers film?
you didn't have to add the Avengers film line bit onto the end.
Would you cast Kedge?
No. Have you ever thought about Kedge in a role of no? No.
That's what I mean. It's just... it was so Kedge, and I was really annoyed on the flight because it was a 2-hour film. I know that a Dubai flight, you're watching three films and you're landing. Two of the three were terrible.
It was a little bit long. I don't think it was amazing. I just think it was nice to
you
see
bigged it up. No, you bigged it up.
No,
you bigged
I picked
up,
it up.
Kedge. No, we can go back and listen. You bigged it up.
Okay, so that one's done. So bad choice.
Can I go into some of the stuff that I thought was excellent, by the way?
What have you seen?
Bob Marley, One Love, that was on the plane.
Oh,
brilliant.
Yeah, good. Oh, is that the first time you've seen it,
Sedge? First time I've seen it. Tommy, you've got to watch that. Brilliant. Really good. And the other thing that I started watching on the plane, which I haven't, I'm going to watch half of it on the way home, is the new Ghostbusters. Not Afterlife. It's the Frozen one.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's rubbish. Again, that was a bit of crap. But something that is excellent, and again, you know, I like watching some of these weird desi movies on Netflix, is a film called Sector 36. It's a true story. And I've got to say, it's very shocking. It's about a guy that kidnaps kids in a little village in India, all based on the true story. And there's older people and like ministers and stuff involved with it gets really deep. But honestly, great film. Go and watch it.
Sexta.
What would I say, Sexta?
It sounds like you said Sexta twice. That's, I'm like, yeah, am yeah. I getting the name wrong? But yeah, Sexta. Cool. But the thing is, can I be honest? Harrowing sort of stories like that are based on real life. Like they do my nut in for a few days, you know. Like they mess me up a little bit,
and I had to go and research about what it was like afterwards because it was deep. It was deep, very deep.
Did you have one more to add? Did you see more?
No, it's just I just said that the next day I woke up and I was still thinking about the film. It was one of them ones.
But that's a good one. It's going to hit you hard when, particularly a storyline like that. Hit you hard. But I watched and I didn't even realize it was out. Ellen DeGeneres' stand-up. Now, before you go, what? I've never watched her chat show. I never watched her, sitcom back in the day. I caught little clips of it because it would go around online. She'd always do massive giveaways and have big guests on and things like that, right? But did you know she got cancelled? She got sacked 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Do you know why she got sacked?
Yeah, like it was like a toxic workplace, inappropriate things and all of this kind of stuff.
Right. They said that she was mean, right? Yeah. That she's a mean person. So she does this big stand-up special. Netflix, so bear in mind, she's lost her job. I can relate. She's been accused of something and she's basically coming out and this whole special is going, they just decided to cancel me because they decided I was this. She goes, I'm not. And then she starts talking about, she goes, you know, I like to play pranks on people. She goes, I've got a producer who gets scared very easy. So we started scaring him. Then that grew into scaring other people. And then it grew into this. And then guests would get savvy about it. So we started building underground tunnels underneath the stage so we could surprise them even better. She goes, oh. And then she does a joke about it. She goes, actually, when you say it out loud, it does sound pretty mean. But she goes, but I wasn't being mean. She goes, but now, you know how she could, well, actually, I won't say it. But I think, I really related with a lot of it. I think you boys would really relate with how when they decide that they want to come and get you and it's time for you to go, they can. And that applies to Ellen. That applies to us. That applies to other people. That's it. Nope, that's wrong. That's mean. That's wrong. And yet we know others are getting away with all sorts of stuff or even being actually mean and they're getting away with it. So she's now, but her conclusion really was, screw it. You should care a little bit about what people think. But don't worry too much about what people think. And I think that was, honestly, it was a great message. She does a bit of stand-up. I think this one went off on one and was a bit too righteous for a bit. Like, hey, you know, I'm just trying to be me. And it was almost like she was doing an excuse for herself. And the reason I'm saying it is I thought about doing the same. I thought in my stand-up, I'm going to talk about everything. And I thought, you know what? No one cares. Really,
no one cares.
The majority of people don't care. And what I will say, though, on that note, which I never mentioned, I don't think, her other stand-up, so this one was called For Your Approval. That's what it's called. So Ellen DeGeneres, For Your Approval. So she's always saying like, oh, I'm doing this all for your approval kind of thing. But the one before that was called Relatable. Even though she's so rich and successful, she's talking about the things that make her normal, as it were. But she jokes about it. It sounds arrogant, but she jokes about it. But it's a good one to watch. And I think you would all learn a lot and you kind of get a little insight to how TV world works and all that. But it's a good couple of stand-ups. She's really good. Well worth watching.
Good.
Can I tell you what I watch? I think it's brilliant.
Please do. It's just come out on Netflix last week.
I think it came out on Friday. And I was basically just looking for some sort of nonsense to watch while I was having dinner. So I didn't want to really start anything new. And I thought, I'll just put on some trash on the telly, open up Netflix. And it recommended Mr. McMahon, which is obviously Vince McMahon.
The wrestling thing.
I've started watching that.
It's brilliant.
It's so good. It's wrestling.
I mean,
let me recap. Let me just say this then, right? So I still don't know to this day, right now, who Mr. McMahon. I know Mr. McMahon.
He's not from India, bro.
Mr. McMahon. I don't know what it is or who he is, but I've now seen so much on social media that I feel like I'm getting the gist of things. But it's just explain for people like me, who is he? What is he?
So Vince McMahon was like the kingpin of.
Why are you saying Why are you saying like a thing? Is Vince McMahon? Well, why are you saying it like a Mohan?
Vince McMahon.
Well, he's not from Ahmedabad.
He's basically the kingpin of the WWF movement. Mitten McMahon. His dad was used to run it back in the day, and it was all in different areas, in all over America, different time zones, and all of this kind of thing. And then Vince comes along, his son, he takes over it, and he basically creates WWF, which is obviously this massive dream, this massive movement that he creates. And it's so exciting because at any point in your life, if you've watched WWF or wrestling, or you're excited about Peter or Andre the Giant, the Honky Tonk Man. Peter Andre. Hulk Hogan, Sergeant Slaughter, all of these people, Bret the Hitman Hart, they're all in it. And they talk about how Vince took them to another level. You see WrestleMania 1. I mean, I wasn't around. I mean, I didn't watch WWF when WrestleMania 1 happened. But Mr. T was part of wrestling.
Yeah.
How he got all of America's biggest names to get involved. Cyndi Lauper was a manager for female wrestling. I did not know that.
Yeah. And
For us, and what you love, Tommy, and I know why Satch is loving it as well, is just the vision this guy had to do something that was just broke
that,
all.
Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of controversy involved as well. But what the guy done, incredible. Tommy, you need to watch it. Very inspirational.
Yeah, I'm 2 episodes down, and I just love, and the amount of people I've spoken to who've smashed it already in 2 days, all of it. And I was
it's so good. I think I've seen up to episode 3 or 4 or something like that.
Right. Oh, and it's still good.
The video I've seen is
brilliant. It gets better.
Okay. The video I've seen is of a guy, and it goes, "This is me on day on episode 1 of whatever his name was, Vince McMahon thing."
Vince McMahon.
It's not McMahon. So it's McMahon.
He's not related to Gerdau. He's not related to Gerdau.
No. He's a monster, right? But he goes, this guy goes, day one, and he goes, "Yeah, Vince is the man." Day two, some of Vince's stuff is a bit questionable. Episode 3, maybe I don't think Vince is such a good guy. Episode 4. No, Vince is definitely not a good guy. And then the final one, he's like just broken. So that's the little. So I've seen all the social media around it.
I think it's a Netflix TV show. You've got to take all of these things with a pinch of salt. There's going to be stuff that they show that is probably not right and stuff. But I think for this pure nostalgia factor, if you watched wrestling and stuff, it is brilliant. Because you're for me, I'm watching bits of it. I'm like, I remember watching that episode at 2 a.m. or whenever it was on. It just makes you feel good.
And you start seeing the WrestleManias and you're like, I remember that. And even the Rise of Ultimate Warrior and why he didn't become the next Hulk Hogan.
It's so good. Like you see the story of Hulk, Stone Cold, The Rock, how they all become Bret the Hitman Hart and what went wrong there. It's so good.
Oh, brilliant. I remember I saw a clip this week of Arnold Schwarzenegger saying that he went to dinner with Andre the Giant. And because we went for dinner, he takes you to an amazing Mexican restaurant. We order loads of food. And by the way, Andre the Giant was known. He could drink like 100 bottles of beer. It was something ridiculous.
He was a big drinker.
The guy was a freak of nature and freakishly strong as well. So you might think, wrestlers, all that. It's all like that. And Andre the Giant, let's be honest, he looked a bit like, I don't know, he looked like an extra out of a movie where he's like plays a bad guy.
He was just
kind of twisted little weirdo. But he was actually a beast. And Arnold Schwarzenegger goes, we were there. And he goes, "No, Andre, let me pay. I'll pay for it." And he goes, "No, I pay." And he goes, no, I'm, look, it's fine, Lala. You brought me here. Yeah. You looked after me so well." He goes, "No, I pay." He goes, and we both stood up to pay. He goes, "Andre the Giant." He goes, "No, where do I?" This is Arnold Schwarzenegger saying this himself. He goes, "Picked me up with 2 hands under my armpit and put me on a cabinet so I couldn't pay." He just picked me up and goes, "There you go, you sit here." And he went off and paid.
Like he's a child.
And that's Schwarzenegger. So you think about what kind of weird desi dude that Andre the Giant has grown up on.
Ked, you're a toothpick for him. You're a toothpick for Andre the
Giant. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Ed, this your metaverse might just be Andre the Giant's jitter. You might just be living in that. And you don't even know it.
Can you imagine?
Oh, God.
And can I just add, there's 2 things I'm going to see this week that I haven't seen yet that I'm very excited about. Is tomorrow night, I'm going to see Janet Jackson in concert in Manchester with my sisters, which would be great because they love Janet Jackson growing up. And it's a bit of a kind of a little of a moment for the three of us to go and see one of the Jacksons perform still. So I'm quite excited about that. And then this Saturday, I finally get to see Diljit Dosanjh do his thing. And by the way, I didn't buy the ticket. Somebody else did. And then what I might do is come out the stadium and record a video about how amazing it was, which is what every Asian broadcaster seems to be doing at the moment. Like, guys,
I'm going there on Friday, so I'll do it before you, Tommy.
Oh, yeah, I look forward to seeing these videos.
Satch, go on, do it proper, Satch. Do it.
And
do
by
it
the way, if you, Tommy, if you fancy a night out after the Diljit concert, can I just say I'm DJing in London on Saturday night, so you're more than welcome to come through.
Okay,
yeah. it's actually a Diljit after party at Sway.
Where in London? Sway.
Sway nightclub. Yeah, Holborn. Yeah.
Lovely. I might well do because actually, can I just say, for the first time in ages, me and my missus went on a bit of a date nighty thing on Saturday. She came with me to a stand-up show. I did a quick 20-minute set. Then we hopped around to a couple of little, different little parties. And we haven't done that in years. It was so good.
I was you know me. You living your best life.
But I don't go out. I don't go and enjoy anything. I'm always working at it or reviewing it or doing something like that. You know, so I'm quite excited about that.
Well done.
And just while we're on the excitement vibe about Janet and Diljit, Sweet Bobby, the Netflix series, is coming out on the 16th of October. Now, we were all banging on about this. Did you get into the podcast? Did you do it?
I heard it all. And now, obviously, this week, the news has dropped that it's coming out on Netflix. And everyone sort of, you know, was like, oh, we've got to watch this. Number one, the podcast came out about 5 years ago or whatever. And number two, I think once you've listened to the podcast and you realise that there's just so many sort of issues in this, I'm not going to watch it because I'm not interested anymore.
Okay. Wow. Fair enough. But I get it. You're right. But what I'm hoping is it's moved on.
What for? No, I don't think it has. And the whole thing's just a bit, it's a bit weird.
I know it has because I've bumped into...
Are you Bobby?
No, I've bumped into the lawyer, Amrit, right, who features in the podcast. And he's a lovely guy. He runs a restaurant as well. And, as part of his kind of entrepreneurial spirit, but he is a lawyer and he was Amrit's lawyer. Amrit. He was Kira is the girl's name who gets catfished. That's not a spoiler. I'll tell you that, but I won't say anything more. If you haven't seen or you haven't listened to the podcast, listen to it. And then when the series comes out, you can watch it. But apparently there's lots of legalities because of the other person that was involved and what they did. They're arguing about is catfishing, you know, is someone doing it on their own intention? Are they being manipulated? Are they being lied to? What is the criminality in that? So there's a lot of legal stuff it throws up. I'm hoping that will get answered in the last few years. So that might be in the series as well. But that's coming out in a couple of weeks. Look, I think there's a lot of Desis that relate. There's a lot of twisted stuff that goes on in Desi families. But at least this will hopefully make your family feel a little bit more normal. All right, there you go. You feel like maybe we're not so bad.
Possibly. It will definitely make you feel normal.
Onto the things we have learned. Oh, by the way, this is turning out to be a longer podcast. And that was another thing that Pete said to me, my mate Pete. He goes, can I say something? Oh, what? He goes, too short. Podcast too short. He goes, I need it to be a little bit longer. I'm thinking more like the hour and a half mark. And I think we're getting closer to that about now. So there you go. Pete,
cheers.
There you go.
Cheers, Pete.
Yeah. Now,
Can I go first?
Yeah.
The thing I learned this week is what the difference is between... And it is quite simple when you think about it. Mm. Venomous and poisonous.
Oh.
Okay. I think I know this, but I want to have a guess at it, but
okay.
I don't want to get it wrong. Can I have a guess at it?
Because when you think about it, you could probably work it out. It is quite simple, but I was just like, oh, so that's the official, you know, phrase for venomous and poisonous.
Isn't it that one will kill you and one won't? Is it something like that?
No. No, they'll both kill you. Both of them involve dying from both of them.
One is venom from an animal.
One you ingest through your mouth, and then one you get through or something like that. It's like a technicality.
You're along the right lines. If something bites you and you die, it's venomous.
That's venom. Yeah.
If you bite something and you die, it's poisonous.
That's very it's good. And you're right. You could easily use those words in the wrong context.
In the wrong context. Yeah, and I was just like, that's the proper way. So, you know, you could say something, I ate something and it was venomous. No, you ate something and it was poisonous.
Okay, yeah. So snakes aren't poisonous.
They're venomous. Yeah.
Very good. See, and how many times you go, oh, it's a poisonous snake? You always hear that phrase all the time.
Yeah.
Incorrect. Mm. It's like, I'm sorry, I'm just being nitpicky now and a bit pedantic, but it's something like people say pin number. You're like, no, the N of pin is number.
It's the number. Yeah.
So it's like people saying, you know, naan bread. No, naan is the bread. Yeah, it's that thing.
Yeah.
It, you know, yeah. Chai tea.
Yeah.
No, it's not chai tea. It's just chai. Like,
yeah.
That is, it's like saying tea tea. Tea tea is something else.
Go on, what's going next?
Oh, okay. So I've got a few, and I'm actually struggling to pick. I think I've got some good ones, actually. Okay, this is a quick throwaway one, because I'm going to give you this one first, right? Paying for something contactlessly, yeah? You know when you pay, when you tap and pay?
Yeah, yeah.
Psychologists have analyzed it. That makes it feel 15% cheaper than getting your card out and tapping your card.
And
swiping your card and doing your PIN number.
I can believe that.
Because it takes away the formality of the transaction. I've just got my phone in my hand and I'm just leaning my phone against this and it's gone. They said that psychologically makes that transaction 15% cheaper. I thought that was clever.
That's one of the reasons why I don't use it on my phone. I've got it on my phone, I just don't use it. I prefer taking my card out still because it makes you think about it.
True, you're right.
Because then you think about it. Otherwise, you've forgotten about it if it's just off your phone.
Wow,
totally.
Wow.
Go on, Kedge. Okay. Randy.
Yeah.
My one is basically I discovered this week, and I did not know this, that Star Wars was based around the teachings of the Tibetan monks, because apparently George Lucas, before he created Star Wars, he actually went all the way to Dharamsala in India, lived with some Tibetan monks, and he was actually got very close to a Tibetan Buddhist teacher called Zenzab Zerkong Rinpoche, and he loved the way he taught him things about all of the Tibetan monks and their teachings. And the whole thing about the force, may the force be with you and all that, is quite strongly linked to the Tibetan monks. Oh. And Yoda was based, the character was based on this monk, and it was drawn to look like him. The monk never saw Star Wars or anything like that, but that was how Star Wars was created, because it's all based on the Tibetan monks. And
you can see that. Actually, now that you said it, you're right. Force, belief, good, evil.
Yes.
You know, that. Those are all, and maybe then, I'm not taking anything from Star Wars, it's a great film, and, you know, it's obviously done the business, but maybe that's what's given it that appeal. So, like, because it's layered in this wicked history that these Tibetan monks have got, that's what enriched it. So the fact is, George Lucas could create that out of Tibetan history, Tibetan culture. Why couldn't Dev Patel do that with the Hindu faith? Well, I mean, come on. He let the people down. That's what he should have.
No, it's a bit harsh. That's a bit harsh. He did all right. It's not easy.
Oh,
you know?
Shut up, Kedge. It was terrible.
It wasn't terrible. But anyway.
It was bad as your fact, because when you said Star Wars just now, I switched off, so I don't even know what you said. It's not hanging the Christmas one.
Right.
Put it out there.
There we go. Now is the point that everyone can switch off. So you can all drift off, and we will catch up with you next week when we do this all over again. I might be in this house, I might not. And now you can all switch off. Well, actually, you can nearly all switch off. Not quite yet, because just a little reminder. We shouldn't even mention it. Like, should we just allow it?
What do you mean? No, we shouldn't allow it.
Because it's virtually sold out. There's only like 4 seats left.
Another event virtually sold out?
Yeah. Eight seats, Satch, what's left?
Yeah, something like that. About 6.
So what's no point mentioning? Okay, I'll say it anyway. On the 11th of October, I think we mentioned this last week, we are at a restaurant called the Tandoori Lounge in Hornchurch, again run by friends of ours. And we decided to do a little quiz there. And we're going to do that quiz on the 11th of October and just have some fun, interactive games, that kind of stuff, just over a bit of a curry, just for a bit of fun. So if you would like to come, there are tickets available from tlevents.co.uk.
That's the one.
tlevents.co.uk, or you can see the details on our Instagram, on the Brownload Instagram. If you want to go, if you can't quite write it down now, just go check out the Brownload Instagram. Look out for the quiz poster, the big Brownload Desi quiz. And then if you want to come down, if you want to be one of those people grabbing those literally last 6-7 tickets, the restaurant's virtually sold out off the back of just the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, we'll see you there on the 11th of October, but we'll catch you next week before then. So until then.
Are you going to be there?
Me? Yeah, I'm hosting
it. There. No, there as in your house next week.
Probably.
Oh, okay. Cool. Kate's going around. He's cooking.
I'll be honest. It's stressful. Right. It got pretty tense in the last couple of days because we'll be like,
sorry, I asked.
I know. I think we're just being, for want for a better word, fannied around a bit. So I'm like, come on, let's get on with it.
Okay. We'll see what happens next week.
We'll have one more send off from here next week. That'd be nice.
Lovely.
Love it.
All right, boys. Until then, laters.
Laters.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.